The World Health Organization has endorsed a malaria vaccine for the first time. The news about the recommendation came last week, with the WHO's director calling it a historic moment. The approved vaccine has been used in trials for more than 800,000 children over the last 2 years in African countries. While only about 30% effective, it could still have a big impact. Others, like our next guest, are working to develop a better vaccine for the future. Dr. Sean Murphy is an associate professor of laboratory medicine and pathology at the University of Washington. His lab is currently researching malaria vaccines. Dr. Murphy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. Nice to meet you.
Before we dig into vaccines, can you talk about the scope of the malaria problem? It doesn't affect us so much here in the Midwest. It's a big deal globally, right?
It's a huge deal globally, and there have been great gains made in the last couple of decades. In the 90s, there was upwards of 3 million deaths a year. And now we're talking maybe about 400,000 deaths a year, which is still a staggering toll, but much improved. Unfortunately, the COVID pandemic worldwide is threatening that progress. And that really drives home why we need a vaccine. I think one thing your listeners might be interested in, though, is that, you know, in the 1930s, we had 1 million cases of malaria a year in the U.S. And since I'm talking to Wisconsin, I even read that in Fort Campbell in the southwest part of Wisconsin, there was a time when upwards of 75% of the troops in the 1800s at that fort would have malaria at any one time.
How do we limit the impact of malaria so much in the United States then?
Well, we have a great deal of infrastructure that a lot of resource poor areas do not. We don't live in the optimal place for these mosquitoes and parasites to live. So, you know, our wonderful, like, Wisconsin and Minnesota winters, et cetera, obviously curb transmission in much of the year. And if you go to equatorial parts of the world, the conditions are perfect. And then we have screens, we have air conditioning, we treat people who have malaria, we drain ditches, we have the Center for Disease Control. We have a lot of efforts underway and have for 100 years to combat things like this. The reason the CDC is in that southeastern part of the U.S. is in large part in response to diseases like malaria, which used to ravage that part of the country even more than elsewhere.
So here we are, 2021, this vaccine, 30% effective. That doesn't sound great, but with the numbers involved, does that put a big dent in our annual malaria toll?
Well, this is kind of interesting one because, you know, we're trying to make another vaccine that's more effective. And, you know, we could look at this and say, gosh, that's not very good. But I heard an interesting statistic, which was that that efficacy is about as good as a bed net. And for the last couple of decades, bed nets have been a very important life-saving measure in Africa. And so, unfortunately, you know, if a bed net is 30% and this is 30%, we don't just get 60% out of that. They're not strictly additive. But because there's so much malaria transmission in the world, we do think, and this is why the WHO endorsed this, that, you know, there could be tens of thousands of lives saved a year. And for that reason, and because, you know, the vaccine is safe and it's even more effective earlier after, you know, giving the vaccine. But just like we've seen with COVID vaccines, we're not walking around with antibodies that are as high as they were right after we were vaccinated. And so those levels fall off, and that's where words like boosters and things like that come into play.
As I understand it, Dr. Murphy, the plasmodium, the thing that causes malaria, it's not a virus, it's not a bacteria, it's a single-celled parasite. Does its, I don't know, unique nature make it a hard target for vaccines?
Yeah, definitely. There are no approved vaccines, I guess, until last week for any what we call eukaryotic pathogens. So, you know, we humans, we are eukaryotes. We have more complicated DNA genomes than bacteria and viruses. And Plasmodium is in that same class. It's a single-celled eukaryote, and we're obviously made of lots of cells. But because of this, it has over 5,000 genes in its genome. And it makes it that much harder to find a single target that is the Achilles heel of the parasite. This vaccine comes pretty close to doing that, but you know, it's based on antibodies and it protects. But if the parasite gets past that protection, then, you know, some people go on to have malaria, even if they were vaccinated. And that's what we would really like to solve down the road. But this vaccine, this approval is a first step.
Talking to Dr. Sean Murphy from the University of Washington about malaria and a new approved vaccine and the future of malaria vaccines. Dr. Murphy, can you talk some about your work? What paths are you pursuing to pursue a hopefully even more effective vaccine for malaria?
Sure. So malaria is transmitted when female Anopheles mosquitoes bite you. And then the parasite goes into your skin for a little bit, just like a few hours perhaps, but then it makes its way to your liver. And after about a week, it comes out and causes the blood stage infection that we know as malaria. That's what everybody says when they're talking about the disease. So the goal is to either prevent the liver from being infected or to kill the infected cells in the liver before they go to the blood. The vaccine that just got approved is intended to stop that early infection of the liver just in that first few hours. And what our group is really interested in is using T cells to hunt down and kill the infected cells. And one of the great things about that is we have the benefit of time. We have maybe 4 or 5 days as opposed to just hours to kill all those cells. The hard part is that the liver is a big place if you're an immune T cell, and you know, you have to surveil the liver. So the goal with our vaccine is actually to create a vaccine that educates T cells about the parasite, but then also tells them to go hang out in the liver. And we call them residents of the liver. And so you could imagine them like as a security force in the liver, and they're patrolling. And if they find an infected cell, they call all their friends, they all get excited, and hopefully they have over 4 or 5 days enough time to kill off the parasite. We're hopeful that this could potentially provide higher levels of protection than just an antibody-based vaccine. But it's a tall order and we have a ways to go, but we're making great progress here at the University of Washington.
In our last minute or so, even if we do get a more effective vaccine, do you think this is going to be, malaria is going to be a thing that a vaccine alone is going to solve, or is it going to be a combo between vaccines, physical barriers like those bed nets you mentioned, public health infrastructure like you were talking about earlier?
It will very much depend on how effective the vaccine is. The way I've been describing RTSS this week, this is the approved vaccine, is that we now add this to the toolkit alongside bed nets and spraying and treating. If we had a vaccine with really high efficacy, we might be able to turn off some of those other public health interventions. But it will really require that the efficacy be more than 80% or even higher. So time will tell. This is a parasite that's been with us for a very long time, and making a vaccine is a tall order.
And briefly, Dr. Murphy, as I understand it, there are different types of malaria and the parasite that causes it. Are vaccines a one-size-fits-all, or do we need a different vaccine for each one?
Well, we at the moment would need a different vaccine for each one. That's certainly the hope, that one day we could have a pan-plasmodium vaccine. And the same thing people are talking about, gosh, I wish we had a pan-coronavirus vaccine. So those are very much on the wish list, but the first problem is hard. The next problem is even harder. We have a lot of research to do for a while, it sounds like.
Dr. Murphy, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
Thank you. Take care.
That's Dr. Sean Murphy, Associate Professor of Laboratory Medicine and Pathology at the University of Washington. He talked to us about the World Health Organization's recommendation of a malaria vaccine for the first time.